April 9th, 2018, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Walk from Pedro show. It's a Monday. It's kind of strange doing one right after the other, but it's the way that this hand got dealt to me, so that's how I'm playing it. Started off with John Coltrane with Miles Davis on the last tour they did together in Europe, 1960, Olio. And then we heard Easy Way Out from Ghost, because I'm not, Brother Matt's not with me. I'm in my own pad, but not completely alone due to the magic of the people in Estonia who developed this Skype software. I'm talking to Ruby Boots in Nashville, Tennessee.
Hello there.
Okay, welcome aboard. Can you tell me your earliest musical recollection?
My earliest musical recollection would have had to have been more than likely my mum used to do this funny clicking sound with her tongue to Beatles songs in the car. Back then when it was my mum's funny clicking sound was more memorable than the actual Beatles song. I was so young, you know.
And this was in Perth?
Yeah, this was in Perth. I mean, I was still in primary school. I'm not sure what you call that here, the early...
Grade school.
What is it, sir?
Grade school. Like first grade, yeah. Second grade.
Grade school, that's it, yeah. So around that time, I used to remember driving home from school, and Mum used to put the Beatles on, and from there, she was obsessed with Elvis, so it wasn't a bad place to start.
No, not at all. I always ask people that because I'm curious. Everybody has their own journey through music, you know. No two are the same. Now, was your ma just a listener, or did she do music too? Did she sing? Did she play?
She just made that funny clicking sound.
She was a clicker. Okay.
That's about as musical as she got.
No, but that's okay. What about at the pad? Was there any instruments, like piano or guitar?
No, there wasn't. I do remember playing clarinet
in school?
Around the age of maybe 12, but very short-lived.
In school?
Yeah, a little bit in school, but I didn't really stay in one school for very long.
Okay.
So.
Okay, can you remember the first record that you bought?
The first record that I bought was Nirvana's Unplugged record.
Okay. And do you remember the first gig you went to?
We had a festival back at home. I think that I went to a lot of local shows.
Do you remember the first one?
Yeah, this stoner band called Green Room, I used to live by the beach in Western Australia, and I'd just go and see them every week. I was so obsessed with them, and they had this one song called Smoke the Rent, and I just really liked it.
Okay. How old were you?
I was too young to be going into those venues.
Yeah, because I was wondering if there was an age limit or something because of liquor or something.
But my sister was much older than me, and she managed to get me in. I was definitely under 18.
Okay.
So I didn't really go and see a lot of shows as a young teenager. But I was just about hitting 18, I think, at that point.
Well, I got to tell the listeners, Perth is about 1,000 miles from another big city. It's kind of isolated.
Well, Perth is actually the most isolated city in the world.
Yeah, so maybe not a lot of bands coming through. Now, I played there three times, but it was because of, four times, actually. Three of the times was because of the Big Day Out Festival.
Well, that was what I was going to talk about. Aside from the local gig, I was going to say, actually, the Big Day Out was my first kind of show that I'd been to, and I saw a plethora of bands that day. I think Prodigy were headlining that year.
Okay. How did you get into playing music then, making music?
Well, after a kind of tumultuous period through my teenage life, I ended up hitching on a truck and heading up the coast of West Australia, which is really the longest stretch of coast that you'll be able to travel in one state in Australia. We drove straight through from Perth, West Australia, up to Broome, and it took us 32 hours nonstop, with two drivers swapping back and forth, and I just got stuck in that passenger seat for 32 hours. And
Jesus Christ.
And I ended up working bars for a little while, and then finally managed to get a job out at sea on some pearling farms, And I started teaching myself guitar whilst I was working out at sea.
Like kind of a hobby thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I remember hearing this band called The Waifs. They're a West Australian band. They've toured all over the world. And I just remember hearing this voice coming from one of the rooms and going and knocking on the door and asking who it was. And I just was determined to learn all their songs. And I actually learned to play guitar through their early records.
Who had the records? One of the crewmen?
One of the... My peers my, that worked on the boats with me, and I went out immediately and bought all of their early albums and just learnt them from back to front.
And they're called The Wives?
Yes.
Like the ocean?
No.
Right? The Waves on the Ocean?
No, W-A-I-F for Frank.
Oh, Waves. Waves. Okay, Waif is like a little, a beggar girl or something. Beggar boy.
Yeah, something like that.
A child that's begging, like a Charles Dickens story. Okay, wait.
You got it.
Wait. Okay. Yeah, that's why spelling's important sometimes. Sounds are trippy. You know what? I want to play somebody else here.
Party, yeah. my mom left the world without becoming a playful child close to my heart, and would feel myself falling into an endless black pit, unable to count the days or even remember the ones I wasted trying to distance myself from her damage. I assumed guilt and denial and cut myself off from the path of light. No, no, I cannot let this spell the pattern of the end. Let not this black gloom shatter my days and prevent me from reaching out to her. As a young man, I ran. Now I am too old to long run. Life is not senseless rebellion. It is growing large in the light and dust of eternity, where we take our place, treasured objects on a windowsill, subsumed within the essence of time, where on an endless spring day we will speak together with love innocent and eloquent, drawing with a sober pride from the well of wisdom, close to each other, nurturing a calm, quiet joy that touches the earth now and then, bringing forth a sea of life. It blooms and explodes, and forth from it we spring, that mantle, but tortured under the chains we fought, and anguish at the lack of reason, at the fear that would destroy us. Brutal, arrogant, uncaring forces arrayed against us, separating us, but we breathe. Life pushed into form, heaven sent to each one of us. The breath of love, life, stripped of all else, is what she brought to me. It calms my spirit, reminding me of her. Living close and needing like I do, we cannot be torn from a relentless world. We have given it life, our life. If my mom left the world without our souls merging again, a part of me would die just to rush to catch up with her. Rush to lift her away from the scorn, hold on not to evil, but we would push it away from us. I would push her to the light, dusky light, where we would spread among the stars, and we become the gentle night and give ourselves to others. I cannot let her go unacknowledged. I have glimpsed the pit and cannot be falling there. We will return as children from life's lessons. Love would be our essence that gives sweetness to our breath, teaching us as we are precious as.
Some bad things. We're creating a society of cell phone crazed marijuana smoking zombies.
People are hard.
Ask easier questions.
The spell is cold. Packing the dead zone. They're not just shoppy. It's more like a head hobby. We'll send them packing the dead zone. We'll be right back.
Starts off autumn. solitary wasp is dying. I am peppered by a glissando of leaves. You know the colors, rust orange, yellow and gold. Yesterday's bread is still moist. Yesterday's bread is still moist.
Don't mess it up this time.
Walk from Pedro show, we heard somebody else from Ruby Boots from her new record on Bloodshot. In fact, Josh let me know about this because not only are the Waifs new to me, Ruby Boots is pretty new to me, but I really dig it. Then we heard Joe Brewer with a poem of his about his ma. If my ma left the world and he fucking didn't realize it was the end of the tape and the tape ran out, so we don't get the whole poem, but there's a good gist of it there. Then Plutonium Farmers with Welcome to Where, Goodbye Voices, Pack in the Dead Zone, Bertram Turetsky and Damon Smith doing North True, something live, that's two stand-up basses there. The Dicks, great band. Gary Floyd, incredible singer. Legacy of Man, Harry Reeve, solo bass there. He's an English guy who lives up in Glasgow. Yesterday's Bread. And finally, Ruby Boots with Break My Heart Twice. Okay, so where we left off was you're learning guitar on the boat after hearing the Waifs. You want to learn all their songs.
I learned all of their songs on out at sea. It was right. The thing that kept me pretty sane. And then, you know, I eventually, like, the work out there was really, really tough, man. It was pretty back-breaking stuff, and we were heavy lifting 10 hours a day. So I eventually hurt my back pretty badly and decided to take off to London in the UK, you know. And so I just went out busking out there.
Oh, so you start kind of, doing sidewalk gigs.
Yeah.
So those are your first gigs. Okay. And what is it, like Waif covers?
I was literally, because I'm very good friends with them now, and actually, you know, we've got songs on each other's records now, but okay. that we've written together. But I kind of joke with them now that I used to rip them off and get paid for singing their songs.
Okay, so you started, doing, but you must have started writing your own tunes around then too, right?
Well, I was actually writing my own songs 6 months after I picked up the guitar and learned 3 or 4 chords, so...
Oh, well, how long were you at sea before you hurt your back?
I was out at sea for 3 years, and I probably started learning guitar about halfway in.
Okay. So you hurt your back, you go to London, you're playing on the streets, after only like a year and a half of solo prac.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was out there because I've got a pretty loud voice, so I think, you know, I think that was like my secret weapon in my head at the time. I was like, well, I can cut through the noise, you know.
Yeah. Where did you put yourself? Because some people, they put themselves in the tube, in the hallway of the underground. Some people
mostly in the tubes. Okay. Yeah, but I kind of had being a sand groper living, you know, right near the beach.
Yeah.
They're called West Australian sand gropers back at home, and I kind of headed toward the coast down the south of England after traveling and working all through Europe, and then just started busking in the streets down in those small towns right by the coast. And
what do you mean, like Brighton?
Huh?
Brighton?
Yeah, I was down. Brighton was one of them, but I was way further down in Newquay and around that kind of area, right at the bottom of England. You could stand at the very furthest point of England, but
the Isle of Wight. I thought that was the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, that might be a little further up.
Somebody's told me that was the most south part, but whatever.
Yeah, right.
Isle of Man is up there by Scotland. Yeah, I'm confused. You know, I found out, though, they kind of stole their flag from Sicily with the three legs. Yeah. I guess if you live far away enough, nobody noticed. So all this time, you're lady alone singing with your guitar.
Yeah.
When do you pick up a band?
Yeah, I eventually, you know, had to head home to Perth, West Australia, and I kept just circling open mic nights for a while, and eventually I picked up a band, I guess around 2008, probably 2007.
Okay.
And I did a couple of gigs, but then, you know, I found out I had really bad vocal cords, like these growths on my vocal cords, and I had to stop singing immediately. just as I kind of fell really in love with it. So I had to take 3 years off singing, and that kind of broke my heart a little, but I eventually got back to it and made my first EP in 2010.
You mean you strained them when you started playing with the band? Because you said earlier that you had a loud voice. But
yeah.
I guess you had to be even louder because of the band, and you strained it?
Well, I had such a loud voice that my chords were already damaged.
Okay.
From talking in a certain way from when I was a child, apparently. So as soon as I started singing, and I was singing, you know, from a real bottom of the gut kind of, you know,
sure.
place. And it just exacerbated the problem very quickly. So if I hadn't had the nodules removed, they said I would have lost a very good portion of my range, and it was right in the middle. So I had to work really hard.
Nodules, they're like kind of calluses, people, because, I mean, it's good for the fingers when you're playing guitar to get the tips tough. But vocal cords, you get them tough, you start losing range. What she's talking about, highs, lows, it's just, it's a real bad thing. What happens, people, is they're literally beating each other up. They're hitting on each other. It's hard. Yeah, you can't look inside somebody's throat. But I've seen little fiber cameras of this kind of action, and I've had friends who've had to have these surgeries. I've heard, what was his name? Like Chris was telling me he had nodules the size of basketballs. Okay, so you take 3 years off. Wow, now that must have been very frustrating.
Now, yeah, I was a little shitty about the whole thing, but,
yeah.
you know.
It was worth it.
I learned a lot in that time, so, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Now, did you write songs while you were not being able to sing and still played?
No, I didn't. I didn't write or sing at all.
Wow, okay.
I was total shutdown period
for
me. Yeah, I learned to play a little bit of bass and joined an indie girl pop band in my hometown.
But you just played bass, no singing.
No singing, no writing, and I played bass for a little while, but it still hurt to be on stage because it was really a reminder of what I wanted to be doing and couldn't be doing.
But at least it was music. I'm not trying to, like, rationalize it, but at least you're still playing.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, but it was, what I had discovered was that I was had this artist inside of me that needed to express itself.
Yeah, of course.
And I think being on, I couldn't really express myself through that instrument. You know, it wasn't my outlet. So I felt very, you know, shut down inside. So it was hard for me.
Compromise. But then you had patience and you worked it out. It took 3 years.
It took 3 years, and I didn't do surgery because it was too tough. So I just kind of, you know, changed a lot of things about life and did a lot of speech therapy and a lot of singing therapy, and I managed to get my voice back. And I think, it's really been a long road to sing the way that I want to sing again. But I feel like it was worth it. Like the worst things that can happen to you at the time can be the best things later for where you
are. Oh, yeah. It's hard to second guess all that shit. You know, life's a journey. But, I'm curious. So you do these different techniques. Your voice comes back after 3 years. You quit playing bass for those girls. And what, you try again? You get another band together or what, you start busking?
Yeah, I just try. I got a band together and went straight into the studio.
Okay.
And just recorded 4 songs. And
okay.
then we just
How'd you find these cats? Any of them from the old band?
Well, Perth is a very small town.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
like, it's a city, but it's a small town, and you know.
Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, everyone knows everybody.
Yeah, I think the drummer from Beast of Bourbon was Perth.
Yeah. Was that James Baker? Was James Baker playing for them? Or was he in the Scientists?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, this guy has a band in Perth, but he... The guys had to come from the whole country to do the tour. You know, some are living in Melbourne, some are in, I think Ken Salmon is up in Brisbane.
And he's Brisbane.
They had to come to Texas, Melbourne, I know that. And I don't know, they had to come from different parts to get together.
no doubt.
But, yeah, I remember the drummer man was telling me that about the music scene in Perth is pretty small. Everybody knows each other. Okay. So you get this band together. Was it like a bunch of auditions, or you just pick people by their chemistry?
Oh, yeah. I just kind of picked them by their chemistry and what they could play, really. Yeah. And ended up being kind of more folky and old country at the time, I guess because I was still finding my singing voice. I was holding back a lot vocally. So it ended up being this like 6-piece outfit with drums and bass and keys and guitar and mandolin / banjo. And, you know, we hit the road for a couple of years, 2 EPs, and hit the road around Australia for a couple of years and eventually got to the point where I wanted to work harder than everybody else. It wasn't, you know.
Isn't it hard touring? Australia's got like 5 big towns with a lot of space between them.
yeah. There's some regional places, but you know, I just wanted to get out there as much as I could.
Sure. And so, okay, you were more. Of course, it was your music, and you're more dedicated. So they fell by the way. What, you end up coming to the U.S.?
Yeah, I ended up recording a full record with just guys and girls that I knew around Australia, and then two of that, you know, with some pickup bands, and then coming out to the U.S. after that album cycle had finished, and I wrote this next record in Nashville a couple of years ago.
Wow, I mean, had you been here before?
Oh, yeah, I'd been coming out twice a year since, like, 2012. I came out to Nashville that early just to check it out. And
that was your first time, right?
In 2012, in the summer, I landed in Nashville and went straight out to Bonnaroo and checked out all the bands out there and fell in love with the city.
And, yeah, a lot of I know tour bus companies are headquartered there. And there's, of course, the whole country scene. There's a lot of recording. And it is in the middle of the country. So as a touring base, maybe that's why a lot of tour bus companies are there. Because it is pretty central.
Musicians are here, too, because it's in the middle of the country.
That's what I'm saying. You're kind of centrally located. I think actually Kansas is in the middle, but Nashville's pretty close. And is there any reason why you picked that town?
Nashville, Tennessee?
Yeah. I don't know where the other one is.
Yeah. Well, I was just making sure I'm still on track, man. I was actually, I guess that 3-year period that I couldn't sing, I ended up working on festivals, in the artist section of all the festivals back in Perth, and I remember this electronic dance EDM, I guess you could call it. I'm not really well versed in a lot of electronic music, but this EDM artist Skrillex was coming through, and his tour manager was from Nashville, and I heard his southern accent and asked where he was from, and he said he was from Nashville, Tennessee, and he rattled off a couple of bands to check out that were from here or that were, you know, kicking around here. And I checked them out, and I was like, oh, wow, I really got to get out there. And so it was just by chance that I got to speaking to this guy about the local scene, and I decided to come over. I guess it was the writing on the wall when I looked back, and I came over and fell in love with the town. It was kind of had all these magical things to it musically that I really wanted to be around, but it was as small as my hometown pretty much. So it was just the perfect kind of impression, I guess you could say, for me to fall in love with it so quickly. So,
just from a tip from a tour manager.
Yeah, well, you gotta jump.
No, I'm just curious. We're at the end of the first hour, 2018, April 9, edition of Watt Pedro Show. Ruby Boots, my guest, hold tight for hour 2. April 9, 2018, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
I am a river. Water. when you can drift down with me. I am a giver. I'll give you all that you need. No shame in the taking. Take every part of me. I am a man. I'm the challenge you see. Rise up to my heavens. Take rest on my peaks. I am a believer, standing strong hand to hold on to when it's too hard to try. I'm not the horizon closer than I seem. I'm not the horizon far to reach. I am a woman. Do you know what that means? You lay it all on the line. When you lay down with me,
thank you.
Watch the Pedro show. We start off the second hour with I Am a Woman by Ruby Boots. Then Mold Omen with Ma Rainey's Infinity. Eiko Ishibashi, Gorilla's Back. Temple Street by Dirty Beaches featuring the Offset Obstacles. CPO with Zhaug. And finally, Believe in Heaven by Ruby Boots. Okay, so you head out to Nashville with your guitar and you have music, right? Because you recorded that stuff. But you didn't bring any of the bandmates.
Oh, no.
So you look for music people there in Nashville, right?
Yeah, it's a good town to look for music people in.
Yeah. First place I played there was a band called Cantrells. Whoa. Some kind of noise. You rub it up on a mic? You there?
Hello?
Yeah. There was some weird noise. Did you rub up on the mic? That's okay. So, first place I played there in town was called Cantrell's, early 80s. A guy, Bruce Fitzpatrick, and he's still running a pad. I think it's called Exit Inn, Elliston Square. It's there by the girls' school. Vanderbilt.
Used to be Vanderbilt.
School. Used to be a girls' school. Yeah, there's a whole a music kind of section there. Exit Inn, Elliston Square, these places. And there's a guy, Bruce Fitzpatrick, and he goes way back. And I love the guy. He's got like a Rod Stewart haircut, kind of faces. So what you do? You find guys or people to put in a band?
Yeah, I just did the same thing as I was doing out in Australia. And I put a band together and just through word of mouth and people knowing people. My first show in Nashville, Tennessee was 2015, I believe, during the Americana Fest out here. I played a couple of shows on the east side and I put a really cooking band together and it was really firing. I mean, it's such a great city to be able to put four people in a room and have everyone just kick it into gear.
Yeah, what you have them learn the songs off the recordings that you did in Australia?
Yeah, back then I did, yeah. Okay. It was still working off the last record, and everyone just learned the songs, and we just managed to pull a really great set together, you know, in a couple of rehearsals, and played a bunch of shows out here, and I did New York and LA on that run as well, and it was like my introduction to touring out here at that point.
Yeah, so, and these guys become the people on this record.
On this record, on the new record, actually, there was a lot of twists and turns before I put the band together on this record, but the bass player I used on my first run of shows is on the record. His name's Chase McGillis. Okay. He's an incredible bass player and a very dear friend, so it was good to have him, you know, on the journey for 2 or 3 years, I guess. Yeah, it was good.
But everybody else got switched out. Okay. Where did you record it? Did you record it, this record that I'm playing songs off? In Nashville?
I actually did it in Dallas.
Dallas, Texas. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, what was the name of the studio?
It was called Modern Electric Sounds Recording Studio.
And how long did it take you?
Including mixing, just under 3 weeks.
Wow, pretty quick.
Yeah.
But you had been playing these songs with the guys, gigs, or did you write it in the studio?
Well, I had spent about 9 months writing the record, the songs, and then, you know, the guys got the acoustic songs. I just kind of had them down on my phone, you know, and I said they got the songs like 2 days before we got into the studio.
Oh, okay, so they had to practice them and stuff, and arrange, get the arrangements going. But you know, like we were saying, Nashville cats, the quality. The level of quality is pretty high because competition. I know a lot of cats that come out there that are playing really good. It's incredible. This song here, I'm going to play Don't Give a Damn. What about that tune?
That tune's just a bit of a middle finger tune to kind of be like, for anyone that just needs to move on from a situation or has moved on, you know, and might have had a few things wrong done to them, I guess, you know. I think it was quite a liberating tune to write.
Yeah, let's listen. I like it.
Yeah.
Won't be long till she's feeling like I fell. Word spreads real fast in this town. Yeah, word gets around. I don't give a damn where you're at or who you with, who you love and who you kiss, even less. Where you go, who you screw or who.
Ti chiedo, Graziano, di liberarmi ciò che ti affligge. D'improvviso si ingrandisce tutto e geme, irrompendo.
M'hanno comandato di grattare con le unghie la fodera del piccolo barile di fenolo.
Capivo, Graziano, ma non potevo solo grattare con lui sperando nell'ordigno segreto.
Gradisci?
Gli chiedo.
La fodera tiene duro, vero?
Ma io non ero lì per quello, era solo una copertura. E voltate le spalle, lo tradisco.
Sure.
Pedro Show, yeah, Don't Give a Damn, Ruby Boots, and then Blurring My Day, High Tides version from the High Tides. Io Gaziano e la Piccola Federa and Finola from Jeremiah Youth, Clowns with We Came to Laugh, they're Brighton Band, Gnarly Davidson Part 1, and It's So Cruel, Ruby Boots. I forgot to ask you about the connection with Bloodshot. So how did they find out about you? Was it their idea to record in Dallas?
It was my idea to record in Dallas. I'd actually met I'd met a guy that's part of a group called the Texas Gentlemen. They got a great record out called Texas Jelly. And they were traveling up to Newport Folk Festival to back Kris Kristofferson up as his backing band, and they were doing a warm-up show with all his songs, I guess, getting them ready for the Newport Folk Fest, and they got me up to do me and Bobby McGee at a little venue here in Nashville, so they could do that as one of their practice songs, and we all hit it off, and Bo, my producer, Bo Bedford, and I kept talking, and I ended up using a lot of those guys on the record from the Texas Gentlemen, and
they're actually not in the band, they just recorded with you.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. And you mean your producer was, he actually was in this backup band?
Well, the Texas Gentlemen are a band in their own right. And
yeah, I understand, but for this situation, they were going to back up Kris Kristofferson, so they were doing his tunes, they were getting them ready, yeah. And the producer man was in this band?
Hello?
I'm asking. This guy, Bo, he was in the Texas Gentleman?
Yeah, he's one of the guys in Texas.
So it just happened that, okay, so another kind of chance thing.
It was. It was like all very kismet, I guess, you know, and then I bumped into him in the street another time in Nashville. He was passing through and we kept talking and we just kept vibing and it happened very organically. And then I sent him some songs and we just moved forward from there. I guess it was really good to connect personally and then on the music as well, you know.
Well, you mean, what about the connect with Chicago and Bloodshot?
The Bloodshot guys, once we made the record, I had sent them the record, and they all got back and said that they really loved it. So, again, it was really based around the music, and they're all huge music-loving people up in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I play a lot of their music. Barrett's Whitfield, I mean, put a lot of good stuff. John from the Mekons.
John Langford?
Yeah, yeah. Another... I guess originally he's Welsh. I've had him on the show. Interesting guy. I'm an old Mekons fan, and he's put out kind of country influence, I guess. Waco Brothers.
Right.
And but of course it's his own style. But Bloodshot Records, I like a lot of their stuff. So I'm always asking him what he got out, and that's where I got turned on to you. You didn't have them in mind, really. You just had the record in mind. And then once it was done, kind of shopped it or something?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really send it out to a whole lot of people, to be honest. Maybe just a couple. And we just got a really quick response from them, in a sense. I ended up flying out. I was in Australia for a bit, just doing a couple of tours out there. And I ended up flying back here in May, so I could go and play a show up in Chicago so that we could meet them all. And it just kind of hit the ground running with it. You know, it was one of those things that everything just seemed to fit really well. And I really like them all as people as well. And I think it's really important for everyone when you're going to be spending a lot of years working together on, you know, something that you consider, you know, that comes from the depths of your soul, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
important.
Handing it over to someone, it's like really important that you all like each other a lot. So that's kind of what we met in Chicago and spent some time together, and they could see that I could play live, and we just pushed forward from there, and it's been a really great experience, actually.
Oh, that's great to hear. Well, we're at the end of the second hour, April 9th, 2018, Dish of Wap Pedro Show. Special guest Ruby Boots. Hold tight for hour three. April 9th, 2018, it's the third hour of the Walk for Pedro Show. Walk for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Don't Talk About It, Ruby Boots. You want to talk about it?
We can give it a go.
Well, go ahead.
Well, where do you want me to start? You want me to start with the...
Well, the tune, Don't Talk. You know, some people... Look, Ruby Boots, sometimes people don't like to talk. They say, that's why I made a song. So I understand if you don't want to talk about it.
Well, no, it's just that it's the title track on the song, so all of a sudden I thought I was talking about the album and not the song, and I just...
It could be both. It could be everything. It could be how stupid I am.
Yeah, how long you got. But the song, the song started with an idea in mind where, you know, there's some things that you have around you that kind of come into your life that... You know, they're not so great for you, and they can really cause you some pain, and you just decide to not think about them and move on, and that's one way of dealing with it, but sometimes it really just does come to bite you in the ass and catch up with you if you haven't really processed it. It'll come out in other ways as such. So that's kind of the premise of the inspiration for that song.
I've had things aren't so neat and tidy.
They never are. It's a glorious mess that we
Right, especially if they're left to fester.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Then we heard Boris doing Angel, Hard Girls with the Chord, Round Eye with the Streetlight B, Chinese Herbal Medicine with All We Know. I'm going to play this song, Infatuation. It's kind of self-evident, huh?
Well, you think that maybe, but it's... It's kind of actually about, it leans one way to be self-evident, but it's actually based on, I had a couple of stalkers back at home that just would not let up, you know, just people that had come to shows or, you know, I used to run a very popular night on a Thursday night by the coast out in Western Australia, and so my number would be plastered all over the walls of the venue, and I ended up, acquiring about three stalkers, consecutive stalkers. So, there was a lot of inspiration drawn from that situation.
So it's their infatuations.
Yeah.
Kind of like a plague. Well, let's listen to it.
Those that keep us warm until the real thing comes in. Don't look Nation, you are here.
Together with me, not lost in the middle.
true. And baby, so have you. Even if it's tough, I ain't gonna fake it. If it hurts, well, you know I can take it. And if I can't, well, honey, I'll break this whole thing in two. I'll make it through.
Live from Pedro's show. Yeah. Last music for this edition. And we started off with Infatuation from Ruby Boots. And out of Houston with the My Dolls, a band from the old days that just got back together. Don't Fucking Die. Wharton Tears Ensemble, Border Patrol, Noon A with Enter Here, and finally, I'll Make It Through, Ruby Boots. I thought that was such an optimistic and happening a spirit in that, you know, for me, hearing it made me want to make an album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, as a peer, like you used that term earlier. Yeah, it was like, wow, she wrote that? I should write some. I like when music does that to me. You wrote this record for these cats you just met over here. Of course, you wrote it for yourself, too. But it was kind of like chapter one in your U.S. music experience. You're going to go on the road now, right?
I have, it definitely first chapter moving into second chapter. Okay. We have a lot of dates coming up, so
right.
I'm
so
late tomorrow.
You're not even thinking about writing a second record yet.
Well, it does come into my head every now and again. Like you said, actually, when music kind of pushes this little button, mm-hmm. you feel like, oh, I really want to write a song. Something does something to you, you know. So yeah. Every now and again that's coming up, but it's a bit tricky at the moment. I got to focus on the shows, for sure.
Yeah, I found that touring is just so much of a 100% thing. It's hard to fit in songwriting.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to fit in breakfast, man, so yeah.
Okay, but you, for sure it's probably going to be a whole different trip when you get to it. Where can people find you on the internet?
I have a website, and I'm all over the internet.
Okay, well tell them the URL.
Okay, my URL is www.rubybootsmusic.com.
That's rubybootsmusic.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people, you can go there and find out your gigs, all kinds of infos on you, more than the idiot Watt that could get out in this spiel interview. Although, a very interesting story, you know, to learn guitar in a boat and end up in Nashville, ready to tour a new album. That's so bitching. I much respect to you. I ask a lot of people this that I have on the show. If they meet younger people, or even people their own age or even older, and they want advice, what is your journey through music taught you that you might be able to hand off to someone?
I feel like the most important thing for me was to just enjoy a slow road. You know, I think when you're always thinking about the next thing, you're actually missing out on what's going on in front of you. And, like, you've got to work your ass off and you've got to enjoy a slow road. And I think those two things combined, because you've got to really love what you do, and I think those two things combined, it's all focused in the work and the journey.
And enjoy the slow ride. In a way, you're saying have patience?
Yeah, I mean, don't always be thinking of the next thing. There's always something in front of you that's happening, but there's always something that you want a little more, I guess. And if you're not looking at the thing that's in front of you that's happening, you're missing out on enjoying your own journey, you know, and everyone's
the present. You say be present in the present. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we all run different races and sure. And you just got to enjoy your own race and make and understand that yours is yours and someone else's is someone else's and enjoy the journey and work your ass off while you're doing it, you know, because there's no room for sitting on your hands.
You know, and your life of music has taught you that. There's I did forget to ask you influences.
Yeah, I mean,
Oh, well, the Waves, of course.
Yeah, the early influences, you know, really vary from Janis Joplin to Bob Dylan to Nirvana to, you know, like, just different, that grunge period. But I guess, you know, around this record, I really turned to songwriters that could straddle this rock and roll world but wasn't completely strapped to it, you know. Which is what I wanted to do with the record. I just wanted to be able to do whatever I wanted on the record if I liked the song. You know,
so like, at the end of the day, music's music, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I just never really responded to wanting to be called a certain artist, like an old country artist or a rock and roll artist. But it just doesn't suit my personality and my whole life that I've lived. So I just look to people like Lucinda Williams or Tom Petty you know, anyone who's just done whatever the hell they wanted. And as long as they felt that they were making good music and writing good songs and
like the free flag fly.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Got it.
I love that spirit. River Boots, I wish you the best. Safe seas and keep the keel in the water. And when this next record comes out, let's talk about it.
Yeah, you bet.
Okay.
Again.
People, it's been April 9th. 2018 edition Wapapedro Show. Keep your powder dry.